Zentrale Prüfung 10, 2019. Englisch. Mittlerer Schulabschluss. Haupttermin. Wichtige Hinweise. Alle Texte, die im Folgenden zu hören sind, werden zweimal vorgespielt. Vor dem ersten Hören wird Zeit gegeben, sich mit den Aufgaben vertraut zu machen. Nach dem ersten Hören wird Zeit gegeben, die Antworten zu überprüfen. Der Hörverstehenstest besteht aus zwei Teilen. Hörverstehen, Teil 1.
Lighthouse Walk. You have decided to visit Cape Point, a cliff at the southwestern tip of the African continent. Start your walking tour at the visitor center at the foot of the hill. Climb up the hill while listening to interesting facts about this wonderful part of the earth in this audio guide. First, read the tasks. Then, listen to the audio guide. While you are listening, tick the correct box. At the end, you will hear the audio guide again. Now, read the tasks. You have 90 seconds to do this. Now listen to the audio guide and do the tasks.
You're about to explore the fascinating landscape and history of Cape Point. So, let's get going. Turn so that the visitor center is on your left and follow the track up the hill past the sign that says Cape Point Lighthouse. Keep your earphones in, you'll hear from me again in a moment. Stop 1. Keep going up the hill. As you walk, let's talk about some important rules. Firstly, please don't smoke outside the clearly marked smoking areas. Fires can start easily and are hard to put out. Secondly, please make sure you stay on the tracks. This is for your own safety and that of the animals and plants that make Cape Point so special. Finally, the old saying, take nothing but pictures and leave nothing but footprints. Don't be alarmed if you see some of South Africa's largest monkeys called baboons, but please be careful. Did you know about 60% of baboon food is made up of grass? And did you know that Cape Point baboons are the only monkeys in the world that also eat seafood? That's why you can see them sitting along the rocky areas, eating straight off the rocks. Feeding baboons is illegal in any national park. If you feed them, you have to pay a fine, so don't do it. When tourists feed baboons, it can be deadly for the monkeys. Keep on climbing up the track. You'll hear from me again in a moment. Stop 2. Continue up the hill with the cliffs on your right. Look around carefully. You might be able to see the Flying Dutchman, a sailing ship that sank near the coast in 1680. The ship came from Amsterdam and was on its way to Indonesia. Legend says that a terrible storm hit the ship. The crew wanted to get safely on land, but the captain forced them to sail around Cape Point. It was his last decision. The ship hit the rocks and sank, leaving no survivors. People say that the captain and the crew were guilty of a terrible crime. And this is why they have to sail the seas forever as ghosts. So, if you're lucky, you might spot the ghostly shape of the Flying Dutchman. Even today, sailors have to be very careful around the Cape. The waters here are quite wild and strong storms often hit the coast. No wonder the coastline is full of shipwrecks. So a lighthouse is a must to guide ships safely around the Cape. We're now on our way to the lighthouse, which was built in the mid-1800s. Okay, carry on along the track. Stop 3. Well done, you've made it to the top. But I must warn you not to climb over the barriers to get the perfect photo. It's against park rules, and it's extremely dangerous. The wind up here is very strong, and it could blow you right off the cliff. You're now standing 249 meters above sea level. The lighthouse was the first to be built on Cape Point. That's why people around here call it the Old Lighthouse. It has a candle power of 2,000 candles and was first lit in 1860. You would think this would be the perfect location for a lighthouse, but actually, it's too high. That's why the light is often hidden by fog. A new lighthouse was built lower down at 87 meters above sea level and nearly at the very tip of Cape Point. It was completed in 1919 and has a powerful light beam. It shines as strongly as 10 million candles. I'll leave you in silence for a while to enjoy the view. When you're ready to move on, leave the lighthouse area and go down the stairs along the stone wall.
In 30 seconds, you will hear the text again, so you can check your answers.
You're about to explore the fascinating landscape and history of Cape Point. So, let's get going. Turn so that the visitor centre is on your left and follow the track up the hill past the sign that says Cape Point Lighthouse. Keep your earphones in, you'll hear from me again in a moment. Stop 1. Keep going up the hill. As you walk, let's talk about some important rules. Firstly, please don't smoke outside the clearly marked smoking areas. Fires can start easily and are hard to put out. Secondly, please make sure you stay on the tracks. This is for your own safety and that of the animals and plants that make Cape Point so special. Finally, the old saying, take nothing but pictures and leave nothing but footprints. Don't be alarmed if you see some of South Africa's largest monkeys called baboons, but please be careful. Did you know about 60% of baboon food is made up of grass? And did you know that Cape Point baboons are the only monkeys in the world that also eat seafood? That's why you can see them sitting along the rocky areas, eating straight off the rocks. Feeding baboons is illegal in any national park. If you feed them, you have to pay a fine. So don't do it. When tourists feed baboons, it can be deadly for the monkeys. Keep on climbing up the track. You'll hear from me again in a moment. Stop 2. Continue up the hill with the cliffs on your right. Look around carefully. You might be able to see the Flying Dutchman, a sailing ship that sank near the coast in 1680. The ship came from Amsterdam and was on its way to Indonesia. legend says that a terrible storm hit the ship. The crew wanted to get safely on land, but the captain forced them to sail around Cape Point. It was his last decision. The ship hit the rocks and sank, leaving no survivors. People say that the captain and the crew were guilty of a terrible crime. And this is why they have to sail the seas forever as ghosts. So, if you're lucky, you might spot the ghostly shape of the Flying Dutchman. Even today, sailors have to be very careful around the Cape. The waters here are quite wild and strong storms often hit the coast. No wonder the coastline is full of shipwrecks. So a lighthouse is a must to guide ships safely around the Cape. We're now on our way to the lighthouse, which was built in the mid-1800s. Okay, carry on along the track. Stop 3. Well done, you've made it to the top. But I must warn you not to climb over the barriers to get the perfect photo. It's against park rules, and it's extremely dangerous. The wind up here is very strong, and it could blow you right off the cliff. You're now standing 249 meters above sea level. The lighthouse was the first to be built on Cape Point. That's why people around here call it the Old Lighthouse. It has a candle power of 2,000 candles and was first lit in 1860. You would think this would be the perfect location for a lighthouse, but actually, it's too high. That's why the light is often hidden by fog. A new lighthouse was built lower down at 87 meters above sea level and nearly at the very tip of Cape Point. It was completed in 1919 and has a powerful light beam. It shines as strongly as 10 million candles. I'll leave you in silence for a while to enjoy the view. When you're ready to move on, leave the lighthouse area and go down the stairs along the stone wall.
Hörverstehen, Teil 2.
Hashtag your choice. You are doing a project on school life in other countries in your English class. You have come across a radio interview in which 17-year-old Mandisa, a South African student, is talking to Bongi Luma, host of the show, about a conflict she had at school in Pretoria in September 2016. First, read the tasks. Then, listen to the interview. While you are listening, tick the correct box. At the end, you will hear the interview again. Now, read the tasks. You have 90 seconds to do this. Now listen to the interview and do the tasks.
For many teenagers, nothing is more emotional than the way they feel about their looks. Now, South African schools are under attack over hairstyle rules. We have Mandisa on the line, creator of the hashtag Your Choice.
Hi.
Thanks for being on the show, Mandisa.
You're welcome.
So, Mandisa, you and a whole lot of other students have walked out in protest against your school's policy on certain hairstyles. What's the story?
What actually happened is that our school rules banned all Afro hair fashion, like Rasta hairstyle, braids and dreadlocks last month. In short, you have to keep your hair tidy. All styles have to be conservative, neat and in line with the school uniform.
And obviously, you were not very happy with that decision.
Of course not. This is Africa. And we can't be naturally who we are.
Yeah.
It's one thing for you to decide if you like to wear your hair natural or straighten it. But it's a completely different thing if someone else decides for you what kind of hairstyle you have to wear.
As it turned out, your school was not the only one that had this policy.
Yeah. Many South African schools have introduced similar rules before.
Wow.
But this time, girls protested. And our complaints touched a nerve. Our school dropped the restrictions a few days later.
But not before starting a debate throughout South Africa, right?
Yes. Obviously we hit a nerve because thousands of people signed an online petition supporting our protest. Even South Africa's Minister of Arts and Culture tweeted that schools should not be used as a platform to stop students from openly showing their African identity.
So true. But why would schools set up such stupid hair policies?
Some South African teachers argue that the reason for hair and dress codes is that personal expression can take the focus away from learning. Uniforms are worn in schools across the country. And when it comes to hair, teachers insist on tidy hair. They defend this standard and say it's race neutral.
Yeah, but what about students who didn't wear their hair according to the code?
Those who didn't stick to the rule were told to cut their hair or else be banned from school.
Ah, unbelievable. What about parents and the public? Didn't they sort of step in?
Yeah. Thousands of people have tweeted with our hashtag, Your Choice, on Twitter. They called the school rule disrespectful and stupid.
Quite right.
A famous journalist wasn't surprised at all that so many women joined this protest. That's why she has decided to work on a documentary about hair and black identity that will be released next year.
Interesting.
And the education minister even ordered an investigation because some people said that the school rule was racist.
Incredible story. South African students demand to be naturally who we are. This is Radio SAFM.
In 30 seconds, you will hear the text again, so you can check your answers.
For many teenagers, nothing is more emotional than the way they feel about their looks. Now, South African schools are under attack over hairstyle rules. We have Mandisa on the line, creator of the hashtag Your Choice.
Hi.
Thanks for being on the show, Mandisa.
You're welcome.
So, Mandisa, you and a whole lot of other students have walked out in protest against your school's policy on certain hairstyles. What's the story?
What actually happened is that our school rules banned all Afro hair fashion, like Rasta hairstyle, braids and dreadlocks last month. In short, you have to keep your hair tidy. All styles have to be conservative, neat, and in line with the school uniform.
And obviously, you were not very happy with that decision.
Of course not. This is Africa, and we can't be naturally who we are.
Yeah.
It's one thing for you to decide if you like to wear your hair natural or straighten it, but it's a completely different thing if someone else decides for you what kind of hairstyle you have to wear.
As it turned out, your school was not the only one that had this policy.
Yeah. Many South African schools have introduced similar rules before.
Wow.
But this time, girls protested, and our complaints touched a nerve. Our school dropped the restrictions a few days later.
But not before starting a debate throughout South Africa, right?
Yes. Obviously, we hit a nerve because thousands of people signed an online petition supporting our protest. Even South Africa's Minister of Arts and Culture tweeted that schools should not be used as a platform to stop students from openly showing their African identity.
So true. But why would schools set up such stupid hair policies?
Some South African teachers argue that the reason for hair and dress codes is that personal expression can take the focus away from learning. Uniforms are worn in schools across the country. And when it comes to hair, teachers insist on tidy hair. They defend this standard and say it's race neutral.
Yeah, but what about students who didn't wear their hair according to the code?
Those who didn't stick to the rule were told to cut their hair or else be banned from school.
Ah, unbelievable. What about parents and the public? Didn't they sort of step in?
Yeah. Thousands of people have tweeted with our hashtag, Your Choice, on Twitter. They called the school rule disrespectful and stupid.
Quite right.
A famous journalist wasn't surprised at all that so many women joined this protest. That's why she has decided to work on a documentary about hair and black identity that will be released next year.
Interesting.
And the education minister even ordered an investigation because some people said that the school rule was racist.
Incredible story. South African students demand to be naturally who we are. This is Radio SAFM.
Ende des ersten Prüfungsteils.